Grace, mercy, and peace are yours because we're ready. We're ready for the arrival of our Lord and our Savior. We're ready for Him to come, not just in Bethlehem, although that's our main focus for the fourth Sunday of Advent, but we're also ready for Him to come at the end of time. Because He came the first time, we are now ready for His second coming when He takes us to the glories of heaven. Everything is ready. I made the observation last week that it seemed like there were more lights up and also a little brighter. Here's another observation. I haven't really noticed the countdowns. Only 4 shopping days left till Christmas. It's December 20th, just in case you're wondering. Maybe it's just because I'm not paying any attention. Maybe it's because this pandemic has us distracted and we're not really thinking about how many days are left. But that always seemed to be something that I heard. You only had a month left, you only had 2 weeks, 10 days, 4 days, 1 day, whatever that countdown might be, so that you can be ready. Maybe you never did that. Maybe you didn't have a chalkboard in your house or a calendar of some kind and you were X-ing down the days just to make sure. But you probably had the deadline in the back of your mind and you maybe pushed it every now and then, but you were ready. The season of Advent is designed to get us ready. To get us ready for the arrival of our Savior, both in Bethlehem and at the end of time. The Sundays in Advent are not really a countdown to Christmas per se. It's not a countdown that says we're getting ourselves ready and now everything just kind of culminates and ends on December 24th and December 25th. No, that's when it starts. That's when the praise starts. That's when the glory starts. That's when the promise is kept. Advent is getting us ready to start the praise. It doesn't end when it comes to Christmas. And so we've been doing what this banner has been telling us to do. We have been watching. We have been getting ourselves prepared. We have been paying attention. And now we're ready to behold this amazing promise that God has given to you and to me. Everything is ready. We do that by taking a look at our gospel for this morning from Luke chapter 1. Everything is ready. 3 things are in place. 3 things are set to go so that this promise can be kept. Let's start with the first one. Everything is ready. The mother. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Everything is ready. God had been saying in the Old Testament that there was going to be a special child that was born, and so now the mother is set. The mother is none other than the Virgin Mary. It's hard because of all your masks. But I didn't see any reaction. None? No reaction at all? Maybe it's because you and I have heard this so many times that we just say Virgin Mary and it doesn't even cross our minds that that's not possible. Virgins are not mothers. Luke stresses it twice. He was sent to a town, to a virgin named Mary. That's the one who's going to be the mother. That doesn't happen and not still be a virgin. Mary herself said that back in verse 34. How is this possible when I haven't even known a man? But that's the mother. It's Mary. We know her well by name. The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary, kind of an unknown, a gal who was up in a backwater town up in the sticks of Galilee, a little town called Nazareth. Yeah, she's royalty per se. She is descended from the line of David. She is pledged to get married to Joseph, who's also royalty, I suppose you would say. He's also a descendant of David, but neither one of them look like royalty. Neither one of them are living where you would expect royalty to be living. Joseph certainly isn't walking around and dressing himself as if he's heir to the throne. He's just busy taking care of his family and doing what he can do with his skills. Mary was just a young girl, an unknown, until now. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But she was greatly troubled by the statement and was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God." Oh, maybe she's an unknown to the world, at least up to that point. But God knew her. "You are the one who is favored. You are the one who is blessed. You are the one that God is coming to. You are the one that the Lord is going to use. You are the one who is going to be the mother. The mother that everyone is going to remember and everyone is going to know. Everything is ready. The mother is in place, favored by God and blessed. Blessed to have confidence in the promises God had made. Blessed to have that amazing gift of faith that was looking ahead to the amazing Messiah. Blessed to have a family ready to go. Blessed to even be a mother, even as the Virgin Mary. Everything is ready. The mother is in place." Which takes us to the next part of the promise, and that is the son. "Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." A son. We've already marveled at the fact that this son was going to be born of a virgin. That's what makes this son a little bit different. People have had sons forever. Many of you have sons. But the fact that this son was born of the Virgin Mary is a reminder that this son is a little bit different. Yes, he is Mary's son. He traces his bloodline back through Mary. He has ancestors. He has grandpas and grandmas and great-grandpas and grandmas and ancestors. Matthew and Luke trace his ancestry back all the way to Abraham, even all the way to Adam. He's Mary's son. He grew up and had classmates and neighbors and friends and family, just like all the rest of the children born into this world. Yes, he is Mary's son, but he is very obviously not Joseph's son. The angel stresses for her that because this is a miraculous virgin birth, yes, he can be called Mary's son, but he's also going to be called the Son of the Most High. This is God's son. Through that amazing miracle that we call the incarnation, God Himself takes on human flesh. God enters into His own creation. God enters into the time that He set into motion. God placed Himself under the law that He put all human beings under. The Son of the Most High, God's Son, comes into this world through the Virgin Mary. You can see Mary scratching her head, asking the question, not so much in doubt, but just curious, how does this work? And I always find it interesting that the angel didn't really answer the question. He just simply said that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you so that this one can be called the Son of God. Mary's Son. God's Son. The God-man. The promised Christ. Give him the name Jesus. When this same Gabriel came to Joseph, he gave us the definition of that name. Give him the name Jesus because he's the one who's going to save the people from their sins. This Jesus is the one who is true God and true man, born of the Virgin Mary and begotten by the Holy Spirit. That's the one who is our Lord. And He's King. Perhaps you're remembering the prophecy that you heard in the first lesson, as God had come to David and promised him something that had never happened in Israel before. There had never been a dynasty. There had never been a son taking over the throne of his father. But God had come to David and said, there is going to be a son, and there is going to be one who builds the temple. Yes, Solomon did that, but you keep on reading and it becomes pretty clear he's talking about Jesus. And that's how the angel describes his work. You and I tend to describe Jesus' work with the fact that he's true God and true man, which means he's the one who is able to live perfectly. He's able to do what you and I were supposed to do as man, and he's able to do it perfectly as God. We describe his work as the one who is now also able to die, give up his life, die, just like the rest of human beings do. But he was able to do that as God. Only God can pay for someone else. Only God can die and do more than just perhaps prolong our lives here a little bit more. He died so that you and I could have eternal life. So that all sin could be paid for and every sin can be removed. But the angel pictures that work as a king. The one that had been promised to David, the one who is going to sit on that throne forever. There is no limits to this ruler. There is no limit in space. He is not limited to some geographical area. He's not limited to boundaries that his army is able to extend and defend. There's also no limit in time. His reign lasts forever. It extends from the first believers of Adam and Eve all the way up to today. This is the King that you and I need. And He is the ruler and the fighter of the battles that you and I need. That's the Son, the promised King. And now the Son is promised. And now the Son is ready to enter. Everything is ready. You've got the Mother. You've got the Son. And with those two things in place, there's one last thing that is now completely ready, and that's the grace. Because you and I might ask, just like Mary did, how is this possible? How can this be? How can it be that a virgin is going to have a son and still stay a virgin? How can this be? How is it possible for you and for me to confess that I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? This is the one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. How does that happen and He can still stay God? How can this be? How can this be? How can I possibly be ready for His arrival? How can I possibly be ready for His arrival at the end of time? Because I'm a sinner. Now, think about that statement. I'm a sinner. We're not talking about the things that we did. We're not talking about the disobedience to parents. We're not talking about stealing from our work by clocking out just a little earlier than we're supposed to be. We're not talking about the little white lies or the greed or whatever else that you and I say and do and think. We're talking about what we are. What we say and do and think just proves what's going on inside the heart. I'm a sinner, dead in sin, hostile to God, unable and unwilling to do the things that God wants me to do because I'm more interested in myself. How can this be? How can God save me? After all that I am and all that I've done to prove it, how is it possible that God wants me in His heaven? Grace. That's the answer. Everything is ready because the grace is there. The angel put it this way, for nothing will be impossible for God. It is not impossible for the virgin to have a child. God is the one who is able to step beyond what He had created to carry out His will. It is not impossible for God the Son to be also become the Son of Man, God and man in one Christ. God can do that. It is not impossible to save you. It is not impossible to save me, because this is the Lord God who's doing this. The Lord God. This is the God who can. He's got the power. He can step beyond what He placed into this world. He is the one who has all power and might. But not only can He save you, He will. He's the can-do God and the will-do God. He's got the power and the desire. Everything is ready. The grace is in place. You and I are redeemed. You and I are saved. And along with Mary, we now say, I am the Lord's servant. That's not possible for me. I want to serve myself. It is possible with the Lord God. He came to serve me. He comes to serve you. He was willing to be born. He was willing to enter into this world. He was willing to take your place in life and in death. He was willing to do all of that to serve you so that we can now be His servants. Praise Him and honor Him and thank Him in every aspect of life, fought through or just going through our day-to-day life, all because He lived. He died. He rose. It's all guaranteed. Everything is ready. December 20th. This is the week. Thursday is Christmas Eve. Friday, Christmas Day. There may be some things yet that you want to do. There may be some groceries you need to go get yet. Maybe there's some last-minute gifts you need to accomplish. But when it comes right down to it, the really, really important things that need to be accomplished, that's done. Everything is ready. God made the promise. God has now the stage set. The mother is there. The son is there. The grace is there. Everything is ready for Christ to come. You're ready for Christ to come. And so we'll see you on Thursday. Amen.